That never gets old for me. Does that get old for you? No, okay, good. Well, because if it does, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to, the season does not begin until we see Clark and the family. Well, hey, welcome to Cross Point. It's great to have you here this morning. My name's Kurt, and we love this time of year. Love the Christmas season, and I just feel like it's one of the most exciting times of the year. All the anticipation, the wonder, which is what we're going to look at today. And so whether you're here for the first time or you're back with us, welcome. It's great to have you here today. And let me pray for us before we go any further today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. It's a privilege to be here today. There's so many places we could be. Beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. And God, we are surrounded by the sights, the sounds, the symbols, all of these indicators, not just here in this place, but all throughout our community, that this is a different season. There's something about the Christmas season. And so as we continue to explore why Christmas matters today, God, why we go to great lengths to celebrate this season, I just pray that you would help us to see that you are bigger than we can comprehend, that you are more unique than we often recognize, and that you're more personal than most of us have ever enjoyed. And so, God, I just pray that you help my words to be helpful today, help them to be beneficial to our lives, and just uniquely move us. Help us to see something in some unique way, I pray today. We pray these things according to you, Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning, I want us to continue this look at why Christmas matters. Why is it that this season, this particular season we're in, regardless of your spiritual orientation, regardless of how religious or unreligious you are, there's something about the Christmas season that just pulls us in. In fact, I recently saw some fascinating research on the spirit of this season. And, you know, so many times pop culture tries to convince us when the holidays come that, oh, you know, everybody's depressed this time of year. It's a terrible time of year. I mean, we say it's all about hope and joy and peace. But there's so much pressure on us, and the season just steals all the joy and all the spirit of merriment out of our lives. And certainly there's additional pressures during the Christmas season. But if that's our view of the holiday season, man, we're missing this holistic picture if we think Christmas is just a stressful time. In reality, it's not. It's actually a beautiful, beautiful time. In fact, take a look at what the New York Times recently reported. They said over Christmas week, searches for depression are 10 to 20% below average, which is a highly significant difference because it's not only depression that drops, but searches for anxiety and suicide plummet during the holiday season. Why is this? It's because people aren't searching these things as frequently during the holidays, all right? They're less and less, you know, trying to find out, how do I deal with anxiety? How do I deal with depression? Because the joy index actually increases this time of year. Another data point on this comes from Google Research Group. They've identified that, get this, the daily misery index. They actually have an indicator on this. How would you like to be the person researching that every day? What do you do for a living? Oh, I figure out the daily. How much misery are people in today? That's what I do. Well, they look at all kinds of different searches online to determine, you know, what this says about our culture. And take a look at this image right here. If you go all the way to the far right bottom end, the misery, the daily misery index right now, beginning Thanksgiving weekend, is one of the lowest it is of the year, and then it continues through the holiday season. Christmas is actually the lowest misery day in the entire of all the days of the year, and Christmas Eve and New Year's Day are close to that. Why is this? It's because the holiday season's amazing. I mean, there's something about it. The data's clear. It's an incredible time. Listen, you should just be like happier just being here today, right? Anybody happier today just being surrounded by music? Great music, by the way. Wasn't the band awesome? My word. Holy cow. Yes. Why is it that pop culture is always like, oh, it's a stressful time. You know, whoa, be afraid, be very afraid. Bad things are coming. You know, you're going to be inundated. You're not going to enjoy the season. You know, why is this? Why is it that instead we're actually drawn to the story? There's something about this season. I think one of the reasons is because this is perhaps the biggest story that's ever happened in the history of the world. In fact, Christmas is this massive, massive, huge story about, it's basically just God saying, hey, I care. I care enough to come down and live among you. That's what Christmas is. It's about this big God who lives and is highly exalted, coming down to the earth, you know, showing up in the Middle East just over 2,000 years ago. And he goes from this big, grand nature to one of the smallest of packages, a little baby. And he's born into this little dot on the map. And in the midst of that, he actually stays small for a very short period of time. And why does he do this? Because he's got a big vision for you, and he's got a big vision for our world. I mean, think about it. How many other seasons could you, holiday seasons, could you stomach for like an entire month? Have you ever thought about that? Think about that for a moment. I mean, I know some of us do have major issues. My family's one of them. I don't enjoy Christmas music until we get to the season, but my daughters, it's been said, they started like early mid-October, all right, watching the Hallmark Movie Channel movies. We were actually driving, you know, across Fisher's one day. I was in shorts and a t-shirt. Sunroof is open. It's like 67 degrees, kind of like today. And they put, you know, Christmas music on in the car over the Bluetooth, and I'm driving along, and I just had that heavy feeling. Like I was feeling a little depressed, and I'm like, what? You know that feeling you get when you're like, something happened that bummed me out, and I can't figure out what it is. And so I'm like, why am I feeling so down? And I'm like, oh yeah, because it, like I'm listening to Christmas music, and I connect Christmas with winter, and winter with snow, and I love snow. And I'm like, oh, it's 67 freaking degrees outside. It should be snowing right now. And I'm like, no, it should not. It's October 12th. Girls, turn the music off. I'm like, we don't need it right now. And I love the music. It's just that I want to save it for this month right here. I mean, but think about it. We have a month of Christmas music, and we're good with it. I mean, think about it. What other holiday could you do that with? Halloween? Could you deal with Halloween for a month? I mean, as a kid, I loved Halloween. As an adult, I'm not such a big fan. Not that I don't like it, and it's not because I'm a pastor and I'm like, oh, it's a dark holiday. It's just, you know, getting the kids all sugared up, and you know, I hate the rush of going home and trying to get them in their costumes and out the door. It's always just crazy busy. Though I love, you know, being out in the neighborhood, and it's a great chance to be generous and give candy away. And what other time of year can you meet your neighbors that you don't know, where your kids get to knock on their door and it's okay, and then you're like, hey. You know, it's good to meet you. I mean, I think the whole thing is really, really cool, but I don't think I could do it for a week, let alone a month, right? Think about St. Patrick's Day. Do that for a whole month? I mean, green beer down on Mass Ave. I don't know that green beer for a day is a good idea, let alone a week, right? Your liver certainly couldn't handle green beer for an entire month. Valentine's Day, my goodness. We do it, right? But I don't think any of us really enjoy Valentine's Day, if we're honest. I mean, it comes, and if you just started dating or you just got married, maybe you're excited about it, but when Valentine's Day comes and goes, you're not going, man, I can't wait till that day next year. I mean, we forget all about it. How about Independence Day? I mean, as a kid, I loved Independence Day. I still do. I mean, I'd prepare for weeks. I'd mow a yard, then I'd go buy some fireworks. I'd mow another yard, I'd go buy some more. I'd create a stockpile of fireworks. That was the days where they didn't charge you to buy fireworks. And so, you know, but I don't know that I could do Independence Day, 4th of July, celebrating our country for like a month. In fact, when one of our neighbors, she was telling us when she moved into Fisher's that they moved in during the 4th of July week. And she said, I looked at my husband and I'm like, what have we got ourselves into? She's like, I walk out of my house and it's like a war zone above my house. And it, like for a month, I mean, you know, because we had to put like restrictions in Fisher's on when you could do fireworks because she said, it's like Fisher's people just have money to burn literally in the sky. And I'm like, come on, you know, we're celebrating America, but she's right to a certain degree, right? Maybe we could do it for a couple nights, but a whole month? I mean, I could go on and on and on with holidays. And yet we have this holiday, Christmas, that we listen to music like ongoing for 30 or more days. And songs for like the entire time. I mean, can you imagine doing like the Monster Mash every day for an entire season? Oh, the Monster Mash. I can't stomach it like twice in one day, let alone like the whole season. But these Christmas songs that we just heard, like the First Noel, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, we were going to do Hark the Herald Angels Sing in a bit. Oh Holy Night, I mean, David Crowder's version of Oh Holy Night, Mariah Carey, Oh Holy Night. Man, I could listen to that ongoing. Why is it that there's something different about Christmas? I mean, why is it that depression goes down? Why is it that, you know, loneliness goes down? Why is it that the day after Christmas that we're going, oh man, I can't wait till next year? Well, see, I think this is one of the biggest stories that's ever hit the world, but I think also God's values are threaded into this holiday like no other holiday. I mean, the symbols of Christmas, the sights, the sounds, the trees, the lights, the bells, the food of Christmas, the story. I mean, the story is a way of drawing us in, right? We're going to look at the story today, and we see the story, and sometimes we step back and we go, oh my gosh, did that really happen that way? And it causes us to wonder. It's so strange, it causes us to wonder. And we go, oh man, if that did happen, how did that happen? And if it did, then man, that means that this thing is something that I can't ignore. And so the story has a way of pulling us in and it captures us. In fact, here's one portion of the story is recorded in Luke 2. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. He says, hey, I've got good news, and it's for great joy that will be for who? The super elite, highly spiritual, religious do-gooders in the world, right? No, that's not what he said. That's what most of us think it said. He said, no, this is for all people. He says, this is good news for everybody. This is good news for people who feel like they never get good news in their life. This is good news for people who feel like, man, God would never even turn my way. I mean, that's how far away I've been from him. He says, no, this is good news for everybody. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. That means a whole bunch of angels, which we'll come back to in a moment. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Think about this for a moment right here. These are just like some unique things, right? I mean, these are some like weird things that happened on the first Christmas. There's stranger things happening in this first Christmas story. I mean, have you ever thought about how strange Christmas really is? Think about this. We've got women giving birth to babies who have never had sex, right? The virgin birth. We've got prophecy 700 years before this happened. The prophet Micah, he actually foretold that this event was going to take place. We've got a guy, Zechariah, who God says, you're not going to speak again until your son, John the Baptist, is born. And he doesn't until his son is born. We've got two babies, John the Baptist and Jesus, who are cousins. And they're in utero in their own mother's womb. And they somehow connect in the spiritual realm. And they leap at the same time within their mother's wombs. We've got Simeon, a guy who has been waiting for the Messiah, and God tells him, he says, hey, you will not die until you see the Messiah face to face. We've got angels appearing to human beings, which never happens. We've got lights, astral lights in the skies. We've got these magi, these wise men, these guys that study the sciences that are following these light. And why are they following this light? Because they are trying to make their way to the most celebrated person that the world has ever known, Jesus. My word. Dudes, this is strange. Have you ever noticed how strange the Christmas story really is? I mean, everything about the Christmas story is strange. And I can't believe some of you Stranger Things fans did not go ape over that right there. What I just did for you. Holy cow. Oh, so you noticed. Any Stranger Things fans in the room? Yeah, a few of you. Yeah, so if you're not familiar with Stranger Things, it's this Netflix series, which the fans would say that's the whole reason they have Netflix. If you're not familiar with it, it's these kind of tweener boys, maybe junior high boys. They're kind of nerdy. You're kind of all geeked out. And they're all into the science and math and all these things that operate on a different level. And they have the ability, the supernatural ability to see things on a different level, to interact with this creature, this reality, this parallel universe kind of thing, whatever. I mean, it's crazy. And it's these strange things, these things are out of the norm that actually lead them to wonder, to explore beyond what they would ask or imagine. And see, the same is true with you and I when it comes to the Christmas story. It's actually these strange things. And when we begin to wonder, I mean, we begin to see things that are bigger than us. We begin to consider things we've never considered before. We begin to get these pictures of a preferred reality that God has for us that we've maybe never fully comprehended in our lives. Listen, the Bible is not trying to give us a believable story, right? It's just telling us this true transcendent event that took place and changed the course of human history. I mean, it's a story full of beauty. It's a story full of wonder. In fact, this morning, I want us to kind of dig into this a bit and kind of see, why do we get in such awe over the Christmas story? Why do we, this whole season, why does it pull us in? What's the mystery? What's the magic? What's the transcendent thing that happens in this season? Let's take a look at a few of them. First of all, we have prophecy. Right, God's actually telling his people hundreds of years before Jesus is born, hey, this thing is going to happen. In fact, here's what Micah says, the prophet Micah says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you shall come forth for me one who's to be the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. So Micah says, you little one, O little town of Bethlehem, you're going to be a pivot point for all future human history. Out of you is going to come something powerful. This is always in the Bible. In fact, the Jews, 700 years before, they would have been memorizing the Old Testament, or what we know as the Old Testament. They would have had this memorized, this prophecy. So they memorized this, and then 700 years later, it actually comes to be. I mean, do you actually believe that God talks to us, that God communicates to us? I do. Actually believe that it happens. I mean, God communicates with me, communicates with you. For me, it's usually a voice that's more intelligible than audible. I've never heard a literal audible voice of God, but I sense God's presence. I feel God's presence. I get nudgings. I receive messages. And I know one of the things that you want in your life, just like one of the things I want in my life, is I want to hear more and more from God. I've never met anybody that said, I want to hear from God less. I mean, most people, even if they're trying to figure the whole faith thing out, they're like, man, if I could just hear from God, or if I had a sign in some way. All of us, we want to hear from God. It happens to me periodically. Let me give you an example. And so many times we think of prophecy as like doomsday, right? Whenever we hear something prophetic, it's like, oh, be afraid. You know, bad things are coming. And it's almost like it's supposed to be fear-based. But that's not prophecy. Prophecy is actually an encouragement, or it's some admonition. It's some forthtelling that we should move on something or do something. And here's one of the ways it happened to me this week. This past week, I was on my way to basketball practice. I coached one of my daughter's teams, and I had to meet my wife at a store. We had to make a purchase together. And so we arrived, and that thing went a lot faster than I thought it was going to go. So I had like 25, 30 minutes for practice. And so I thought, well, man, I had to run a couple errands and fit these in before we go to practice. So, you know, I said, hey, Maggie, let's go. And so we're on our way to practice. And I just got this kind of nudging that, no, you just need to go to practice early. I thought, well, why would I do that? I usually don't go that early. It's awful early to show up. And so I even said to Maggie, hey, what if we stop a couple places? And she says, no, let's just go to practice. Oh, okay. And so I just felt like there was a little nudging. So I got to practice. I got there so early, the gym wasn't even open. All right. And the only other person there was the guy I coach with, the assistant coach. And he had already found somebody to open the gym. So we go in, start talking. And it was crazy. The girls, our team, was late that night. They didn't even show up till like 5 or 10 minutes after practice. Well, that time frame, in the midst of that, I was talking to my assistant coach. And we were talking about Thanksgiving and our families. And we're just kind of getting to know each other. And before long, he says, hey, I hear you're a pastor. And we start talking about spiritual things. And all of a sudden, you know, he's like, man, we want to come to your church this Sunday. I think they're going to be here today. Well, I don't know. God didn't tell me I was going to have a conversation like that. But I just had to nudge you. Hey, you need to be there early. And it was affirmed from someone else. I mean, now, you might say, well, I've never had that happen to me. All right, this is just one of the ways prophecy can happen in a very small way. Where we get, you know, encouraged to do something. And this is a part of the wonder of this story. We have the virgin birth. I mean, I read something recently. It was very fascinating. Talk about how everybody celebrates Christmas in America. Even in our increasingly, you know, kind of anti-religious, more atheistic culture, here's what the Pew Research Organization found. They said nearly everyone in America celebrates Christmas. This includes 87% of people with no religion, about 3/4 of Asian American Buddhists and Hindus, 73%. Think about that. I mean, even people, you know, not only do people celebrate Christmas, but they went on to talk about how people actually believe the certain things that are in the Christmas story. Take a look at this. 75%, and these numbers are going down a bit, but look at how high they still are. 75% believe a baby was laid in a manger. 68% believe wise men were guided by a star and brought gifts of gold. 67% that an angel announced the birth of Jesus. 66% that Jesus was born of a virgin, on and on. I mean, born of a virgin, in case we don't know what that means that Mary, she gave birth to a baby without having intercourse, which means there was never insertion or sperm introduced, at least at a human level. This means God, in some unique way, that God planted his seed supernaturally so the Son of God could be born. Think about that. And this right here says 2/3 of our culture actually believes that. How is that? I mean, are we brainwashing the American public to just believe these things in the Christmas story? Is that how we report this? Or is it that we long for something that's way more transcendent than maybe we've experienced, and we're hardwired to want to experience this? I mean, if God's going to show up in the world, think about this. If God's going to show up, why do we think he would do it conventionally? You ever ask yourself that? I mean, there's nothing about how God works. Even Jesus often would get pushback from the religious, you know, culture because he didn't do things conventionally. Why did we think that, you know, why sometimes we think this is hard to believe, but why would we think God would do it any differently? We have astral events. We have lights in the sky. We have these magi, these well-educated individuals who are following this light. And some people try to say, well, you know, it was that they were in the right place at the right time, and certain stars aligned at that particular time in the year, and it created this pathway to where they kind of followed things because they were just in the right place. Okay, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how it all worked. I can tell you, if I studied stars a bit, I probably wouldn't come within 100 miles of the manger if I tried to figure it out, right? Theologians, they many of them believe that God actually created an astral light. A light specifically for this moment. A light that would draw, that would be a guiding point to lead multiple people, multiple segments of people, actually to where the Christ child was. And that this is what the Magi followed. And so, however it happened, I mean, whether they happened to be in the right place at the right time, and the lights just lined up, and that's what led them to that place, or if God literally put an astral light in the sky, wow, I tell you what, that's pretty amazing, right? I mean, if you're into math and sciences, man, that'll make you step back and wonder a bit. How about angels speaking to human beings? That's pretty strange, right? And yet it's actually kind of cool at the same time. It doesn't happen every day. In fact, angels operate on the spiritual realm. They don't operate on the human realm. And so angels don't really communicate with human beings, just, you know, so you kind of know how that works. The whole Touched by an Angel series a number of years ago, that really screwed up our ideas of angels, just so you know. And there's nothing real about that. Angels operate on a spiritual level. All right? Angels appear in the Bible, and what's the first thing out of their mouth every single time? They go, oh, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why do they say that? Because angels will jack you up, okay? They're not little white babies that are trying to help you fall in love. That's not what angels are. They are God's Navy SEALs. They are fighting a cosmic battle on your and my behalf, right? And so we have angels here, though, talking to human beings. Now, I've never talked to an angel. I've never interacted or even seen an angel. And yet it tells us that this happens right here. Verse 10, it says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? All the people. He says, who is this for? He says, it's for everybody. It's for all of us. The angel said, hey, God's doing something big. And guess what? Good things are coming your way as a result of this. Another one of the fascinating parts of the Christmas story to me is that poverty is a major theme in it. It's a major theme throughout the story. It's one of the reasons we do like Spread Some Cheer initiative, you know, during this time of year, every year. We're doing meal boxes for family. Over 200 families, as Vince said, are going to be, you know, the recipient of your generosity. I think there's like 100 boxes out there. They've all got to be out the door by next Sunday. All right, so let's knock this thing out. Let's be generous. Let's take a box, fill it, bring it back. Because these people, you're their plan B. Plan A didn't work for them. You're plan B. There is no plan C. All right, just in case you're wondering. So we want to be generous. Why? Because this is threaded into the Christmas story. Giving tree gifts, why do we do that? Because it's threaded into the Christmas story. Bring gifts to those who have very little. All right, we look for opportunities to be a blessing to people. That's what happens this time of year. The shepherds, we're going to talk more and more about the shepherds in a moment, but shepherds, they were in poverty. All right, the shepherds were visited by the angel. Guess what? Jesus was in poverty. I mean, why do you think that he had multiple strips of cloth? It said he had swaddling cloths wrapped around him. Why was that? It's because his parents couldn't afford a full-size blanket for him. So we have this natural desire to help people in poverty during this time of year. Why is that? It's because it's threaded into the story of Christmas. Another thing, again, maybe one of my most favorite parts of the story, is we have the rich and we have the poor on the same journey. All right, the shepherds, they're like super poor. And the magi are like the crazy, filthy rich. I mean, the shepherds, they like occupy like the lowest of the low of occupations, right? They'd be like the equivalent of being like a seasonal worker at Dollar Tree or Walmart or something, right? That's what they'd be. Now, I'm not like knocking on seasonal workers, all right? Any work is honorable. It's just that if you're doing seasonal work, that usually means you're probably not in your preferred profession. That means you probably aren't doing something that you consider this to be a career. Right? This is what the shepherds are doing. This probably wasn't their plan A. Probably wasn't even plan B or C. And it certainly wasn't something society held in high esteem. I mean, think about this. You know, we see shepherds, and we're like, oh, it'd be pretty cool to be out in the field with those sheep. But nobody back then thought it was cool. Like, staying up late, sleeping in the field, sleeping with stinky animals, having to, clip the, the sheep would defecate, and it'd hang on the wool on the rear end, and they have to, zip that off, kind of like if you have a poodle, you know what I'm talking about. You know, like this is dirty work. Nobody wants to do that. Then why are they doing this work? It's because there's no other option for them. Right? They probably don't make very much. And yet these guys are going on a spiritual journey right alongside to Bethlehem with the Magi, who are probably the top 1% of the elite, who are these rich Zoroastrians in all likelihood from the country of Persia, which is very, very wealthy. So we have the rich and we have the poor, and they're on the same journey. And it happens because of Christmas. And so, Christmas is a time when we can actually stop our class warfare. And we have this increasingly happening in our country. And we have, we have people who are poor increasingly judging people who are rich and saying, well, I mean, the only reason they're rich is because they must have taken advantage of somebody or done unethical things to get to where they are. And we have people who are rich in our country saying, well, there's people who are poor, if they just be, willing to work, they just don't want to work hard enough. Well, neither of those are true. See, Christmas is a time when we all see the same God. Same God. It's a time when we all get communicated to by the same God. I mean, if you're rich, you don't have any more right to God than those who are poor. And if you're poor, you don't have any more right to God than those who are rich. I mean, we're like co-equals on this spiritual journey, just trying to encounter and hear the voice of God. Because he says, hey, this is for everybody. This is like when you're at the skating rink in like fourth grade, and they're like, hey, it's an all skate. Everybody's invited to be on the floor. That's what God's saying right here. And think about this. There's very few things in our culture today. Very few things that are for everybody. And we try to be that here at Crosspoint. Say, hey, we're here for everybody. People say, hey, am I welcome at Crosspoint if I have this going on? But yeah, man, we're here for everybody. Huh. Well, but I'm this kind of person. We're here for everybody. Now, you may not like Crosspoint, but we're here for everybody. That's the Christmas story. It's fascinating that even in our culture, our culture gets drawn into this wonder. This spirit of generosity and giving and all the things about it. In fact, I saw a really cool commercial. Maybe you've seen it from Xbox and Microsoft. I mean, I'm making tears watching this commercial. All right? Let's take a look at it here.
He's going to do it! You got to see this!
It's like you got like the athletes and you've got like the tech kids and you've got the music kids and you got the kids just hanging out. You got everybody. It's like all the social, spectrum things all of a sudden all disappear. And everybody's gathering around one thing. And what is it? It's actually lifting up somebody who maybe has lived a little more of a difficult life than everybody else. I mean, this is this moment right here. It's like the one time a year. Christmas is one time a year where God's story collides with our world. I mean, in a way that we can't get away from. And it's in those moments we realize, man, we need something more transcendent. And I need something more fulfilling. And I need something that brings a greater peace than anything that I could consider or create myself. I mean, take a look at the prophet Isaiah. Again, hundreds of years before Jesus arrived. Here's what he says. He says, for unto us, which really means for unto you, a child is born. For unto us, again, which means for unto you, a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, now let me just be clear here, this is not a political structure, this isn't something that's going to be instituted in our community. This is personal, this is the government of God in your life. And Jesus is the governor, right? Of the increase of the governor of Jesus in your life and of peace, get this, there will be no end. There's going to be no end. So what the prophet's saying is this whole season, this story, there's one coming who's going to counsel you. There's one coming who's going to give you peace like you've never experienced, even in the midst of really, really difficult things. There's going to be no end to that. There's going to be a mighty God, an everlasting Father. And he's saying when you experience that, when you receive that, when you begin to have that in your life, increasing in your life, more of his peace, more of his fullness, man, I tell you what, your life, your fulfillment in life and your experience in life is just going to increase. And it all begins because of Christmas. And so let me ask you, you know, as you head into the Christmas season, we're one weekend, you know, what are you hoping for? I mean, what is it about this season that's inspired a longing for something to be different? I mean, what is it, you know, that you just need to see God's hand in? You know, so many times, I mean, life just sucks, right? I mean, if we can be honest, we hit things or go through things or things happen maybe outside of what we have control over. Sometimes we create them. And we just get ourselves in difficult situations. And you know, we turn to God. It's amazing how we turn to God in those moments. But, you know, my prayer often in those moments, and as you go through those moments, my prayer isn't just, you know, hey, God, would you remove this? But God, I just need to see your hand in the midst of what I'm dealing with right now. I just need to see your hand in some way to know that you're here and you care. I mean, where is it that you need to see God's hand? Because of the Christmas story, you realize, man, things could be different. You know, where do you need to see this in your family? Because it can happen. I mean, it can happen. I mean, God will communicate with us. You have a heavenly Father who wants to communicate with you, wants to bring you more peace, wants to bring you more joy, more fulfillment. I mean, that's what Christmas is. It's a story that says to all of us, hey, God cares. He's here. He cares more than you'll ever know. So I want to walk us through a couple next steps as we think about, okay, what does that mean for me this week? So take out your connection card on the back or some next steps. And, you know, for some of us, maybe you're here for the first time and you're just kind of enamored. You're like, man, I should go to church at Christmas. Well, why'd you show up? Why'd you decide to come this morning? Or why'd you come back? Maybe there's something about this season that just pulls you in. And that first next step, maybe your step is just simply to say, hey, I'm going to return next weekend. I'm going to continue to immerse myself with the sounds and the sights and the story of Christmas and just see if God doesn't begin to show up in my life in some unique way. Maybe it's identifying a friend or neighbor. There's somebody that's on your mind this morning that you want to invite, whether it's through this season or to Christmas Eve. I mean, take that ice scraper. I know it won't mean much today, you know, when it's 70 outside. But tomorrow, when it's 38 and their doors are frozen shut and, you know, frost on their windows, that ice scraper will come in handy. Just invite them. Say, hey, you know, love to have you join us, you know, Christmas Eve at Cross Point. Maybe it's intentionally looking. You're in one of those seasons that just suck right now. You're like, man, I don't have time for the holidays. I'm dealing with a divorce or a messy family situation or broken relationships or a job snare, whatever it is. And God, I know you're going to grow me through this, but man, I just need to see your hand. Look for it. God will communicate to you. Or maybe it's just inviting God to prevail in your life, for Jesus to begin to govern more and more. Maybe you've taken a step of faith, but you just now say, you're saying, God, I need more of you in my life. I want to have more of your spirit in me. Or maybe you've never taken a step of faith and you want to do that today. So whatever it is, you know, God will communicate with us. The whole story is about him showing us he wants to be here. And he wants us to know that he cares. So let me pray for us toward that end. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas, for all the sights, the sounds, everything we see and hear. And it means something different for every single one of us. But there's a through line here that we're drawn to. And I just pray, my prayer is that for every single one of us, we would experience you uniquely this Christmas season. That we would see, we would hear, we'd experience you in a unique, powerful way. And that we'd be reminded that we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. And Father, maybe some of us today who are being drawn to you, we want to take a step toward you for the very first time. We've never understood that there's a God who wants to know me, that didn't come to chase after me to condemn me or make me feel guilty, but it came to bring me life. As the angel says, man, this is good news for everyone, even those who feel like God would never even turn their way. This whole story is God saying, hey, I care. I want to know you. And so, Father, if any of us want to take that step into relationship with you and receive your grace and your goodness into our life, it can just happen by saying yes. Jesus, yes, I want to receive you. I want to know you. I want to know your grace. I want to know your fullness. Will you fill me with your Spirit and help me begin to govern my life? Help me know what to do next. And in that moment, you're spiritually transformed. And so, Father, I just pray that, man, as we continue through this season, you would suck us in and draw us in. Help us to experience the wonder. Help us to ask questions about, okay, how did this happen and what does that mean for me? And God, help us to just see you. I pray that you would help us see you.